You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
The summer is heating up. Have your next backyard celebration with TNT Fireworks. TNTFireworks.com. Have safe family fun with TNT Fireworks.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Now, with clear seed peaches, tomatoes, and other fresh produce, J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama is ready to serve you. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, you can go to their website at jcalvertfarms.com and follow them on Facebook and Instagram at jcalvertfarms. Give them a call at 256-636-2752. That's J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama.
Hey, everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama. Assistant football coach at University of Texas. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is the Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to the Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of the Mark White Show as I come to you from Andalusia, Alabama, at White, McClung, and Barber Accounting Offices. Glad to have Jan White with us right now. She is an author. She has written Everyday Faith for Daily Life, and I wanted her to be able to share about her book, some encouraging messages. If you follow The Mark White Show, you've seen quite a few posts from me about battling depression and the things that we share and talk about in our daily lives, trying to be an encouragement to each other. Trying to help others has been something that has been the biggest encouragement for me thus far, to try to help other families, to focus on other people than myself. And as I think about what Jan has written here with Everyday Faith for Daily Life, I think about the different types of encouragement that we can seek after when we're really troubled. And there are a lot of things that are difficult in this life that trouble us, that give us some major struggles, whether that be the loss of a loved one or an illness that we're diagnosed with or some other kind of catastrophe that happens. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Jan White.
Thanks, Mark, for having me, and we are not related.
We are here to talk about your book today. Mm-hmm. When did you release Everyday Faith for Daily Life?
It was released early December of 2020. Basically, it's a project that's been on my bucket list for over 10 years or more, because I've written a column every week for the Andalusia Star News for over 25 years. And from time to time, a reader would contact me and say, that really spoke to me. Or one lady told me she cut out of the paper every clipping every week to save them. And I thought, well, maybe it's worthy of a compilation of my columns. And so over the years, there might be one that really spoke to me myself, you know, something I learned from about life, from the illustrations that I've used and the stories. And so I would basically I decided I would compile. My goal was 100, but I ended up stopping at 80 because I could go on and on. It just came together remarkably. We did this on Amazon through Kindle Direct Publishing, and it was amazing to see all the pieces fit together at the right time. It must have just been God's timing, because Brenda Gant is a friend of ours, and she was just then getting to her million and something followers. And so she endorsed my book, and I was on some of her videos. And after that, it just took off. And it's been a blessing to see it take off, and the people that it's touched their hearts by reading it. But it is a compilation of 80 of my newspaper columns. And I'm so excited to share those. I kind of also did it as a legacy for me and my family to have these to read in years to come. But some of them are personal stories about our family. Some of them are historical pieces. I love history, and so the writing and history go together very well. There's a story in there about the football, baseball, just different topics of, I think, of any age group that they would be enjoy reading it.
How did you come to start writing for the Andalusia Star?
That's an interesting story, because whenever we had a Christian bookstore in Andalusia for many years, and one day the publisher of the Star News came in, and he knew that I had experience in writing for other newspapers, and he said, "Would you like to write a weekly religion column, and it can be on anything you want it to be about?" And I said, "Sure, I'll give it a try." I didn't think over 25 years later I would still be doing it. So every week is a gigantic, humongous platform to speak to my entire community, to encourage them or make them maybe, or help them think about something that they hadn't thought about. Because I hope that when they sit down and read something, maybe because it is, there's columns in here that are pro-life, but I hope they read it in a way where they put it down and say, "I never thought about it like that before." So I'm not using my column or this book as a platform to preach at people. I'm using it to speak to their hearts and to try to get them to think about things in a new way that they may not have thought about before.
That sounds like the Mark White Show. That's what I try to do, mm-hmm. is because you share messages. Mm-hmm. I have you on the show. I have, say, Brenda on the show. Let them share their message and just use it as a vehicle that people can listen and do with it what they will.
That's right. And I hope there's something, and I believe there's something that anyone can relate to, because like on the back cover, I have the question, "Have you ever felt like a basket case?" That's me. Most days I feel like that, but if so, you have something in common with Moses and the Apostle Paul, because Moses, of course, was put in the basket in the Nile River, and the Apostle Paul's life was saved by a basket dropping him down off of a wall to save his life. So one of the things I enjoy including in the book are hymn stories. There was a man who wrote a letter to his mother. He lived in Canada, and he wrote a letter to his mother in England who was ill. And it was on a scrap of paper that a friend found in the trash can at his house. And the guy looks at his friend's words and he says, "Where did this come from?" And he said, "Well, I just wrote this to my mother." He said, "Can I have these words?" Whenever he got the words from his friend, he used it to pen the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." So no one would ever have found it if someone had not seen that scratched copy of those words on a piece of paper in the trash can. You learn more about hymns, the history behind the hymns. They mean more to you than just singing them out of the hymn book.
It's interesting, because my great-great-grandfather, his name was Flavel Hall. He actually preached in Awen, and they lived in Pineapple.
Oh, okay.
And I traveled there the last time I came to Andalusia, and he was a hymn writer.
Oh, wow.
And so I have several of his books, songs that he wrote, and that was something that was very important to him, was capturing a message through music.
Right.
And he went into Ohio Valley, and he would instruct people on singing and getting people together so that they sang together in different parts and shape notes and all the different things that were involved with that.
I think those were called singing schools.
That's exactly what it was.
One of the stories that I've written about is the guy that wrote Victory in Jesus. He was prolific his entire life, and he gets to the end of his life and has a stroke, and he's bedridden, can't hardly do anything for himself, and it takes him 30 days, a full month, to write the words and music to Victory in Jesus. When you sing that in church, you'll think about a bedridden man that, despite what he was going through, he still had victory.
It's amazing. A lot of amazing stories of people who have put words onto paper and added music and written songs. If you go through and read some of the stories of the people, who, what they've gone through to get them to that point. One of the things that I wanted to bring out through my show, I've always enjoyed listening to other people. And one of the things that probably was not part of the show early on was me sharing as much about myself.
Right.
And you writing for the Andalusia Star, and knowing now that through Everyday Faith for Daily Life, you've added personal stories.
Yes.
Stories of being a basket case. That's not easy sometimes to share with people.
Right.
Because it is uncomfortable. You're making yourself vulnerable.
Exactly.
And I have found making myself vulnerable through the Mark White Show, it's been okay.
I think people really relate to you on a more personal level. One of my stories is about when our daughter was learning to drive, and I called it letting go means getting out of the driver's seat. And that's what we had to do to teach our daughter to drive. And sometimes we're facing things in life where we want to control it. That's my nature. I want to fix it. I want to be in the driver's seat. But sometimes we have to leave that driver's seat, and that's where God should be. He should be in control. But in relating that to my daughter learning to drive, I was being somewhat vulnerable there to let people know that, that's my personality.
When was the first time that you started sharing about yourself? Was it right off the bat when you started writing, or did it take a little time?
I think it took a little time because there's so many interesting things that I read about. And if I'm reading something, or maybe there's some current events that I want to comment on, and I feel like it's better for me to stay away from myself at first. But is my love of history, once again, going back to one of the stories that I shared about was locking my keys in my car. At times, I hope that people laugh and cry. And the main point of it is I hope that they learn something from giving me a little bit of time every week to read my column, or giving me time to read my, giving their time to read my book. One of my funny stories, and I don't try to hate the humor very often because you can really get into confusion there, but one of them is a lesson on pride that's taught by a frog who was flying. He was seeing the birds fly away for the winter, and he said, he told them, yelled to them, "I want to go with you." So they just devised a way that he could, the birds would hold a stick in their mouths, two birds, and he would just latch onto the stick and fly with them. And whenever they got a little ways across the landscape, a farmer looked up and saw the frog flying between the two birds and said, "I wonder how that happened." And he said, "I did it." And then he plummets to earth, you know, because he has too much pride. In my book, you'll meet a 4th century Asian monk named Telemachus. The story goes was called by God to go to the Roman Colosseum, and he ends up getting there the day there's gladiators fighting, and he couldn't believe the bloodbath. And so he comes down the stairs toward the floor of the arena and tells them, "In the name of God, forbears, just stop the violence." And he goes even closer, and finally he's in the middle of the gladiators. And the people in the audience of the amphitheater that day think that he is just part of the show, but he was trying to go between the blows of the swords, and one of the gladiators just thrust the sword through him, and he died. And the story is that after that day, there were no other fights to the death, because he gave his life to stop the evil that he saw. And God used him to do that.
What an amazing story. Mm-hmm. How can people find your book, Jan?
My book is available through Amazon, and it's just go to Everyday Faith for Daily Life. And also, we have them locally in our town. Wherever you see me, I've got books in my car. have books, we'll travel. But you can go online and order them there, and I'll be glad to mail books. If someone wants to contact me by email, it's jan@janwhitewriter.com, and I would be glad to sign one for them and mail it right back.
Excellent. we have Walt Merrill, who's the district attorney here for Covington County, coming up, and he did a foreword in your book.
He did.
That's interesting that he's going to be my next guest.
And I was grateful for him. When I first read what he said about me, I started crying because I thought, I'll never measure up to that standard. But one of the neat things to me about my book is the cover picture is like a dirt road leading somewhere you cannot see. And that, to me, which actually is a dirt road away right across from our house, to me it was like a metaphor. We only see a day at a time. And so this dirt road in this picture, you don't see around the bend. We just have to take one step at a time, and that's all we can do every day.
Exactly. Right. It is about taking those steps today. Right. And then if you have tomorrow, then you take a step tomorrow. We're not promised any day right now in this moment.
Exactly.
We don't have any longer than we have.
One of the thing I thought I would mention about my book is there's a story about the Ten Commandments, and I compare them to the seatbelt. I don't like to wear a seatbelt, but I've grown used to wearing a seatbelt because we need to wear a seatbelt for our protection. And God gave us the Ten Commandments as our seatbelt for living, to be able to have a safe life, basically. Not don't do these things, but this will be a better way to live.
Jan White, it's been a real pleasure to have you here on the Mark White Show today to share about everyday faith for daily life. I do encourage people to check out the book. I'm looking forward to reading the many different chapters that you have. I've read through the front of the book and the contents, and there are some really remarkable things to be checking out. So I hope that listeners will take a look at this book and find some things that they can glean from it that will help their life.
Thanks so much, Mark, for inviting me to be on your program.
You're most welcome. When we come back, we'll have Walt Merrill, who is the district attorney for Covington County. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525. Or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
For those of us who are directly responsible for the care of loved ones, we want to do the very best we can to take care of them. This is where estate planning is so important. With estate planning, you can still take care of your loved ones, even when you're gone. I encourage you to make a plan by going to BamaEstatePlanning.com. Harlan Mitchell has all the tools you need to make a solid plan for your family, just like I did. That's BamaEstatePlanning.com. Make a plan and do it today.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
This is Jacob Johnson from Marble City Pharmacy, and we've got exciting news. An all-new Marble City Pharmacy and Gift Shop is coming soon. That's right, we're getting bigger and better. We will have more space and be adding a drive-thru, and we'll still be in the same great location we are today. While the construction is happening, we'll be moving a few doors down in the same shopping center, Ogletree Plaza. But don't worry, all of our fantastic services will still be available, including in-store pickup, curbside service, and free home delivery. We can't wait for you to see our new pharmacy and gift shop. Thank you for making Marble City Pharmacy Coosa Valley's best.
The summer is heating up. Have your next backyard celebration with TNT Fireworks. TNTFireworks.com. Have safe family fun with TNT Fireworks.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on The Mark White Show.
And we're back. You are listening to The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White. I'm glad that you're with us. We just had Jan White on the program to talk about everyday faith for daily life. I hope you will check that book out. And during our conversation, we talked about Walt Merrill. He wrote the foreword to the book. And Walt is district attorney here in Covington County. He's also been assistant DA, as is the path for most, assistant DA to district attorney. And he is with us right now as we are coming to you from White, McClung, and Barber Accounting Services. We appreciate them letting us use their office for The Mark White Show. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Walt.
It is great to be here and great to be with you today, Mark. We appreciate all you do for all the good people across the state of Alabama. It's always nice to have a familiar voice and a voice that truly speaks for the people. You know, I know that you are like-minded in so many ways with most of Alabama, and so I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be representing Covington County on this great day.
I spoke with Officer Rice last night. You were coming around. I wasn't trying to ignore you, but I was also sharing with Officer Rice what I try to do through my show, being a former police officer. There are a lot of organizations out there to support our men and women who are serving, and I want to make sure that they realize that the Mark White Show is trying to fill that gap when there are some things that go through an officer's life, the challenges they have, that they need some support.
Yep.
And so I was trying to share that with Officer Rice, who is an officer here in Andalusia, as you were coming around. And my background being law enforcement, I have an appreciation for district attorneys and what they do when you have to go to grand jury and you're testifying and you're in front of those people and the DA is helping you along with evidence and things that you are presenting and help me build a solid case. It's always helpful that DA makes it happen.
Well, and you know, we live, unfortunately, in a day and age where law enforcement and prosecutors are oftentimes belittled, if not worse, oftentimes, most times, in fact, unfairly and unjustifiably. And so I appreciated you taking that time with Officer Rice last night. I knew that that was an important conversation, and I appreciate you giving us an opportunity here today to speak too. You know, you mentioned trying to be kind of an uplifting and encouraging, source for law enforcement, and that is important. People, I think, underestimate just how taxing the job is, and people oftentimes ask me, how do you do it? How have you been? You've been doing this now for 17 years. How does it not just grind you down? And look, I'll be honest with you, I've seen lawyers that have been ground down to fine dust. I've seen prosecutors that have drifted away into an oblivion because they just couldn't handle the continual depressing and agonizing things that we experience. You know, a lot of people go to work and they experience a tax return or an asset sheet or an inventory count or things that are, you know, easy, relatively easy to process. But what we experience every day is child molestation and murder and death and rape and pillage and plunder. And those things can wear on you. And so as a just to relate back for a minute, you know, people say, how do you get through it? I say, my faith. And that is how I get through it. And so it was easy when Jan asked me to write the foreword for her book. It was really easy to do because I have been a longtime reader of Jan's, because she is so good at making faith relatable to everyday life. And that's why her book, Everyday Faith for Daily Life, is so important. It really is a penmanship that the average guy or average woman can pick up and read and think, you know, I get this. This is speaking to me. This is about me. And so I think a lot of police officers, a lot of prosecutors that kind of disappear into the muck of the profession, I think what they really need is just a glimmer of hope on the horizon. And sometimes they just don't know where to look to find that.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Walt, because you are not there for people's best day. when you're given a call, you go to a home, you have a few minutes to interact, and you're not going to change their life. What's happened over the past few decades or past few years, in that few moments that you have, you do your job, and you're very limited. I found that having this show opened a lot of doors because I'm not limited by any system of structure. Mm-hmm. As far as that goes, when it comes to, say, the court system or being a police officer, that if I want to help outside of that scope, I can. And so I see a lot of needs outside of that particular instance where I get a call, yes, for something that's really bad. And in this show, I'm able to look at the other elements of what's happened, the victims, those who need help, support of families, kids who are going to school, they need school supplies, funeral expenses need to be taken care of if somebody's life is lost. It doesn't matter exactly what that person did per se, but they're innocent people, they're family members who are left with the burden. And one of the things we talked about before this conversation, we talked about men and maybe some struggles that they're having to take their role and be in the position that they should be. And it's worse now, I will say, not to belittle our generation, but I was raised by my grandparents and I had a different perspective mm-hmm. than even my own father, right. my own dad, who was born in 58. There's been a change in our society, and it's very difficult for men sometimes to find that role. And for whatever reason, maybe they start with depression and it ends up in a drug addiction or mm-hmm. porn addiction mm-hmm. or something that captures their heart and pulls them away from being a family person or being a person who shows up to work, who is dedicated to a real purpose in this life.
Yeah. So, we obviously, you know, the world is trying to say that masculinity is toxic. And in reality, what is truly toxic is the elimination of masculinity. You know, men have a very valuable purpose in society, and we have been almost demonized. And so people say, well, what is it to you as a prosecutor? What do you care about the role of men versus women? Well, what I see every day, Mark, is I see men who have lost their purpose. And so just to kind of further expound on that, sometimes I even say I see men who have failed. And oftentimes, you know, I'm prosecuting young people, 20-year-olds, whose dad checked out 20 years ago, and they've never had a fatherly influence. And so they have been wayward their entire life. And somebody says, well, why is he the way he is? And part of the answer to me, obviously, is no discipline in his life, no structure in his life, other things. Certainly not a criticism of a single mom raising, doing the best she can. Those women, you know what, somebody ought to give them a medal for working as hard as they do and making all the sacrifices that they have. But we still have to be aware of what the consequences are of a man not being in his fatherly role. You know, I also see men who oftentimes commit crimes themselves, and the reason they do is because, again, they've lost their purpose. They like you mentioned earlier, they checked out on their family, so they got depressed, and so then they engaged in a lifestyle of alcohol and drugs, and that led to addiction, and the addiction consumed them. And so time and again, what I have seen professionally is that people want me to fix the problem. By the time the problem gets to me, Mark, it can't be fixed. I shouldn't say it that definitively.
It's not going to be your office that's going to do it.
That's
in
right.
That moment.
Yeah, that's right. The problem has already been developed. I can't go back and undo what's been done. I can simply kind of try to correct. But if you really want to fix the problem, let's start with men and their role, right? Let's start with men and their purpose. And so I spend a lot of time personally and professionally trying to do that. One of the things that we mentioned a few minutes ago that I spend a lot of time doing is working with Crossover Ministry over in Op. Crossover is for 17 years, we have operated a faith-based residential drug treatment facility. Our clients go there and they stay for 6 months. We feed them, we house them, we get them a GED. We have a full curriculum that it's 200 pages of curriculum that they have to go through and digest. It's all about the relationship between addiction and sin. And so people say, well, what good does it do? What's your success rate? How are you making a change? And I, you know, statistically, I don't know that our success rate is any better or any worse than anybody else's necessarily that's operating a faith-based program. But I do know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that those same police officers that are looking for hope, they're no different from than these drug addicts that are looking for hope. And when you introduce somebody to hope, it changes their world. It changes their life. And so all those men that come through our program, we don't charge them a dime. That's absolutely free. And every Wednesday I go over there and I teach a class on biblical masculinity. One of the things the world has done a really good job of is changing the definition of masculinity. And so there are times when I agree that masculinity, as we define it as a society, is toxic. You know, Rambo, for those of you who are old enough to remember who Rambo is, killed the entire Russian army with a big knife and a box of matches, you know. And he also took down a helicopter at one point during that same movie. And what we did for so long, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Chuck Norris, what we did for so long was we taught men that the only way to be a man was to do it alone. And now we have a lot of men who realize they can't stand on their own, and they're collapsing under the weight of the pressures of life. 60% of American men, according to a recent survey, confessed that they feel lonely and isolated. What a miserable way to live life. And so we try to change, I don't know that we change the definition of masculinity. We're just trying to teach men at Crossover. Part of what I do anyway is we teach men what a true definition of masculinity looks like. You know, one of the lessons, everybody knows the story of Peter walking on water and getting distracted by the waves and the wind and sinking down a little bit. And I just remind those men that part of what Peter's masculinity looked like was he had the courage to get out of the boat. You know, there were a bunch of men cowered down in the back of the boat, too scared to do anything. And Peter said, well, I'll get out and go see what happens. And so I challenged those men. You got to have the courage to get clean and sober. You know, it's not easy, but you got to do it.
If you take 10 men and you line them up on a wall, you're going to have 6 of those 10 that say they're lonely and isolated.
That's right. And that's because the world has programmed us as men to think that being alone, standing alone, not asking for help, not reaching out, not admitting we have weakness, that all those things are what make us a man. In reality, all those things make us weak.
And one of the things that you handed me was Shepherding Outdoors, short stories from a Southern father. And I believe that probably works into exactly what you're sharing, to have some type of encouragement or inspiration that leads to a man understanding his role and that it's okay to be a man.
Yeah. So in 2017, I started a ministry called Shepherding Outdoors, and it was all about getting fathers to engage their children. You know, I realized I try to give you a short summation. In 2015, I had 3 daughters. They, at the time, they were about 10, 8, and 4, maybe. And I realized that they liked Barbie, and I liked G.I. Joe. And every time that my G.I. Joe tried to play with their Barbie, my G.I. Joe killed their Barbie. We had an incredibly difficult time as a dad and 3 girls finding a way to relate. You know, one of my daughters loves ballet. One of them loves athletics. One of them's not inclined to do either, right? They're 3 distinct individuals. And so I was desperately trying to find this way to engage and relate, because I felt like I was losing my influence over my daughters, especially with, you know, it's hard to compete with Taylor Swift. Let's just be honest. It's hard to compete with the internet. And so we made some changes as a family. For years, we had no television in our house because we didn't want that competition. We didn't want that influence. And so Shepherding Outdoors came about in part because I around that same time I was diagnosed with terminal sarcoma, and I spent the better part of a year undergoing treatment, a couple of surgeries, all sorts of good stuff, and a whole lot of prayer that was obviously answered in the fact that after I had 2 different doctors and 2 different pathology labs tell me that I had a terminal form of cancer. After the last surgery, they removed the bulk of the tumor. It was behind my eye, and they removed the bulk of the tumor. And 3 different pathology labs could not confirm what it was. And so the reason that's relevant is because I believed at the time that I had a very finite amount of time to impress upon my daughters. And so I started writing everything down. And I started writing down life lessons and stories that I could remember and things I wanted them to remember. And that became Shepherding Outdoors. Now, thank the good Lord, the diagnoses were wrong. And I tell people all the time, I don't think I'm worthy of one of God's miracles. And if he chose to work one on me, then I'm thankful for that too. And I'm still here, and I'm grateful for that. And so I felt like, hey, God gave me this opportunity to start writing. I need to see it through. And so that's where this first book came from. And what that book really is a book of how awkwardly I navigated through fatherhood. Because what I want other dads to understand, it's just like when I take my girls camping. We camp, we kayak, we fish, we hunt, we do all kinds of great things, none of which I am an expert at. If you take me and drop me off in the woods and say, you got to live out here alone by yourself for as long as you can, well, I'll be calling you in about 20 minutes. And so one of the things we've done is we've made dads feel like you have to be a super jacked up expert if you want to be considered a good dad. And no, you don't, because our kids don't know a thing about what jacked up experts are, right? Our kids just want to spend time with us. And so I can't tell you how many times I've gone out into and some grand adventure with my kids, having no clue what to do, scared to death myself, but we came back, we lived through it, we had great stories to tell about it, and we have great memories and great bonding experiences. And so the last point I'll make is the reason I do it outdoors is this, is that there's no internet, there's no television, there's no competition. It's just me and them. And although there are times where they probably want to claw my eyeballs out, those nights when I didn't bring a big enough sleeping bag and we're all shivering, you know what? They make for great stories and a lot of great moments and a lot of great memories. And so that's what Shepherding Outdoors is about. It's about men reengaging their kids at any level. Forget about being an expert. That's a lie the world has programmed us to believe. And let's just be dads. Let's just be dads.
Experiencing life lessons, that's certainly what you get when you're raising children. Because we were once children ourselves, Walt, and someone had to be there for us. We wouldn't be sitting here talking right now if somebody hadn't made a difference, a special difference in our life. Things would be completely different.
That's right.
We err, we make mistakes, but we can come back, center ourselves up, and get back on track. It's not impossible.
Yeah, and we learn from our mistakes, and we correct them, and we start over, you know. And I think too many men are scared to engage. A good friend of mine from church, he and I share a similar background in that my dad never took me camping. My dad, he took me dove hunting a couple of times, and he took me fishing a couple of times, but that was it. There's no camping or outdoor heritage in my family. And my knee-jerk reaction was to say, I don't know how to do that, so therefore I won't. And one of my friends from church and I were talking about the other day, his dad was the same way. We love our dads. It's not a criticism of our fathers, but it's just a recognition that we didn't know where to start. But we both agreed we had to start somewhere. And I think too many men today, be it parenting, be it marriage, be it whatever, that out of fear of not knowing what to do, out of fear of failing, they refuse to do anything. And I think it's better. What's the saying? It's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. Well, it's better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all. Right.
That's right. You have to choose which failure you prefer.
That's right. Yeah. Cause it really, one is certainly much worse than the other.
That's right. Try and fail. Or fail and just
That's
don't
right.
try and fail at that too. Yeah. Either way,
and that is what I see too often is men who just check out. They say, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to try it all, and they just check out. And then they leave this wake of chaos behind them.
That's unfortunate, you know, because we think about people who have some very difficult times as children, young people, and they saw examples of people checking out on them, and that's what they know. Is to walk away. And if that's the lesson learned, we learn by what we see. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do right now is because we saw somebody at some point in our life, even me using my hand talking. I saw a preacher in a pulpit using his hand, and I thought, well, I need to use my hand when I talk. You start doing it.
Yeah.
We live by example of others, and if we've had those negative examples, and again, that's not to be critical of those individuals because they may have had the same thing. It's a cycle. It's like if somebody never goes hunting, and then you decide, well, I'm never going to go hunting. The next one, I'm never going to go hunting. We keep up a family tradition.
That's right.
Or you say, well, I'm going to go this path and I'm going to give it a shot. You try something different. And then your kids see it and they say, well, that's something I want to try to do. And then they grow their tradition. But we do get into a rut, so to speak, if we saw some things that just said, okay, Mark, just throw in the towel, call it quits because you just don't have what it takes to accomplish whatever feat you're trying to get through.
Yeah, and once you quit once, it's easy to quit again, isn't it?
It is.
And I think back on my life, most of the stories in that book, most of the best, yeah, I tell everybody, you know, I am not Al Bundy. And people, if they're old enough to remember who Al Bundy is, they look at me like, what? And if you, you know, Al Bundy, his claim to fame, his greatest moment of life, the pinnacle of his whole life was when he threw four touchdowns for Polk County High School to win the state championship. And people say, well, what's your great football moment? And my great football moment is when Kelvin Moore, who went on to start at linebacker for Alabama, came through the middle of a hole, hit me so hard it knocked me clean out. I almost lost one of my teeth because he hit me so hard. He broke my collarbone, separated my shoulder, and all sorts of chaos reigned. And the reason I tell people that story is because, again, I'm not an expert. I'm not great. I'm not fantastic. I don't have this great story about winning the state championship. All of my stories, all of my life lesson stories, all the books and all the stories in that book and in my next book to come, they all revolve around, you know, stepping in a pile of cow crap and tripping over something and falling down and making mistakes. And I talked about Peter getting out of that boat. You know, what is often overlooked too is he had the determination to keep going. And I think that's what we need as men. We need to be determined to keep going. No matter how many times that I trip or fall or stumble, I'm going to keep going because God has given me a purpose and I need to fulfill that purpose. And so we talk about men who check out. You know, there's a ripple effect. There's a butterfly effect, and it's very unpredictable what happens in the ripples of them checking out.
Yeah. Another ripple effect, Walt, is the fact that you write one book and you want to write another one, and we can have ripple effect with positive as well as we can with the negative. And I know that you mentioned briefly just a second ago that you had a book that will be coming out. If you want to share about that and your thoughts about where you're wanting to take people with that particular book.
Yeah, so when I started Shepherding Outdoors, I've been a long time investor in men's ministry. That myself and Chris Jackson and Mark Perry, two other men from here in Coating County, we years ago we started a men's ministry called Ironworks, and we kind of a spawn of that. Part of that was Shepherding Outdoors, and so when I started Shepherding Outdoors, I started a social media network with it. And I always thought it was ironic that I kept my kids off social media, but I spent a lot of time trying to minister to men through it. But you know what? You go where you find people, right? And so my Facebook page is Shepherding Outdoors, and that's where I publish most of my writing. And I try to write every day, Mark. I get up some mornings. I get up at 4:30 every morning. I write for an hour and a half. And sometimes at an hour and a half, I think this is junk and I just press delete. And so I don't publish, but the next day I might like what I write and I'll publish it. And so through the years, I've just written so much that I have these collections, these volumes of stories. And so this first book turned out to be Shepherding Outdoors Volume 1. The next book, which is just now available, is Shepherding Outdoors Volume 2. And it is just another collection of short stories from my perspective. Short stories about me and my daughters and other influences in my life, all of them revolving around the great outdoors, because the great outdoors is the great leveler, right? There's no – first of all, I believe it's – inescapable that if you look around, if you drew a true survey of the great outdoors, it's inescapable that there is a creator, right? And then second of all, man, woman, young, old, Asian, Mexican, Caucasian, it doesn't matter. It's the great leveler because everybody can find beauty in the great outdoors and awe and majesty. And so every story is about the great outdoors. And so, but, you know, it's tempting, though, when you talk about the great outdoors to think Wild Kingdom and Mutual of Omaha and you know, and the Rocky Mountains. But sometimes my great outdoors are the creek behind my house, right? It doesn't have to be extravagant. I believe men can engage their kids in the simplest of ways in the backyard. So this second book is just a continuation. It's just more stories. Through the years, I have my tolerance, I guess, for my ability to overcome fear has grown. I have taken one of my daughters. We've paddled across the Everglades twice now, and we'll be going back again this next year. My oldest daughter and I paddled down the Buffalo River in Arkansas. We love to kayak and camp. We oftentimes camp in the Kanaka National Forest or other places. You know, lots of stories about just simple adventures, and I try to mix humor and faith into every story that I write about. And so I hope people, if they want a copy, if they want to check it out, they can go look at my Facebook page, Shepherding Outdoors. And then that's S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D. Shepherd is one of those weird words that can be spelled several different ways. And anyway, they can go there and see some of my writing. And then my next book, they can go to shepherdingbook.com and get a copy of it as well. The first printing is completely sold out. I'm thankful for that. I appreciate the good Lord's influence there. And maybe there'll be another printing. I don't know. We'll see.
And the idea of short stories, and in similar fashion like Jan had with her book, it is stories that are short enough where a person can have attention span that's longer than the typical at this point, because that's another struggle is people's attention spans. How long can someone go? And it may take a while for someone to get acclimated or adjusted back to being able to handle 4 or 5 pages. I don't know what it is right now, but people are on seconds. Yeah. They watch things that are seconds long and they move on to the next thing. But short stories, something that people can actually digest and be able to process what they just read.
Yeah, most of those stories you can read in 10 or 15 minutes, but you're absolutely right. Smartphones have done a really good job of dumbing down people's attention spans. By the way, there statistically, if you want to increase your child's ACT or SAT score, the most proven method of doing that is getting them to read 20 minutes a day. And you know what a smartphone has done? It's convinced every child in America that they don't have to read anymore because they have everything in video format at the touch of their fingers.
Well, Walt, it's been a real pleasure to have you here to share about Shepherding Outdoors, to share about the ministry, crossover ministry that you're involved in helping men. It is something that we didn't know what we were going to discuss.
Right.
When you came up, what are we going to talk about? We found it, didn't we?
Yeah, and instead of shying away, instead of checking out, we just forged on through.
There you go, buddy. Yeah. I appreciate you, Walt.
Thank you, Mark.
Folks, here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire. I hope you've been encouraged by this show today, and I hope that you'll share this show with your family, your friends, your neighbors. Let them know about the Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference in our communities around the country and the world. I want you to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram, and go over and subscribe to the Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to another edition of the Mark White Show, and this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month, where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15228 Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama. Looking for direction in this volatile market? Contact Brad Wallace, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, on Hughes Road in Madison, Alabama. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
And gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. These are my kind of people.